With no fees or minimums, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than deciding to listen to another episode of your favorite podcast. And with no overdraft fees, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank. Capital One N.A. Member FDIC. Hey, everybody, if you want to tell the world something or sell the world something, head on over to Squarespace, because they're going to help you build the website of your dreams. Say you want to sell some custom merch. Well, you can set up your online store. Whether you sell physical, digital, or service products, Squarespace has the tools you need to start selling online. So go to squarespace.com/stuff right now, and you will face a free trial. And when you get ready to launch, use our offer code STUFF, and then you'll save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. How could you go wrong with Squarespace?
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh, and there's Chuck, and it's just the two of us, but that's okay because we are hot dogging it, not Porky Pigging it, hot dogging it on this episode of Stuff You Should Know.
This could have been a two-parter, easy.
Easy peasy, yeah.
We could have done hot. There's so much we're not even getting into.
And then dogs.
Well, no, there's so much here, but at the end of it, I was like, boy, we didn't talk about corn dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I got a little bit on chili dogs, but there wasn't anything in here on chili dogs.
Right.
Is a hot dog a sandwich? John Hodgman's famous lifelong battle.
Are we still talking about that?
No, we're not. But that's the point is there's a lot more to hot dogs. The footlong, don't even mention it. We won't even talk about the footlong.
I think the footlong is illegal now, and we're not allowed to talk about it.
Come on.
Sure. Nanny state, thanks to Uncle Joe Biden.
All right, let's talk about hot dogs.
Yes, dude, this has been a long time coming. I'm surprised we haven't talked about it. And you're right, we're biting off a lot here, but we can chew it, pass it through our guts and out of our pooper. And that's what everybody's going to hear.
Do you like hot dogs? Can we go ahead and I got two questions.
Sure.
Do you like hot dogs?
I like a good hot dog, yeah.
And do you boil them or grill them?
Oh, I try not to grill anything. I think grilling makes everything taste worse.
What?
Smoking a little bit is okay, but grilling, I'm not a grill person.
That is very strange.
Like a hot dog that's been placed on a grill, blackened and split open is preferable to one that retains all of its taste when it's just appropriately reheated and plumped up in, say, boiled water, even just in the microwave.
I am shocked that you don't like a char on meats. That's
no, I don't.
Not very you.
I don't. It's too, you know why? Because I'm a bitter super taster. I can barely tolerate grapefruit. Certainly can't tolerate char on anything. Mm. Like barbecued chicken. I mean, what is the point of barbecued chicken?
Because you burn that sauce onto it. It's great.
No, it's awful. Oh, it's so bad. No, I don't.
Oh, it's
I don't
so
like,
good.
So I'm taking it. You like them grilled most of all?
Well, I mean, I'll eat a boiled hot dog for mm-hmm. sure. But, oh, yeah, a grilled hot dog that has got some bubbly black that's split open,
mm-hmm.
the best.
Not for me. But you do like hot dogs. Are you above, below, or about at the national average of hot dogs consumed per year among Americans?
Well, that is 70 hot dogs, and I am well above, no, well below that. I probably eat less than 10 hot dogs a year.
Oh, really? I was going to say, I've got you beat by a mile.
What? How many do you eat a year?
I would guess anywhere between 40 or 50.
I mean, maybe, I'm trying to think, because I feel like they usually come in twos, like at a barbecue or something.
Right.
A cookout, I'll have a couple of hot dogs,
mm-hmm.
and we're not counting. This is just hot dogs because I definitely love me some bratwurst.
Sure, oh yeah,
and stuff like that. But straight up hot dogs, I probably don't eat more than 12 or 15 a year. I would say.
Hey, you know the key to beer brats? Everybody does it wrong. Everybody soaks the brats in beer beforehand. That does nothing to them.
Because you need boils?
No, soak. Some people soak them, pre-soak them, or even boil them, yeah.
I've seen people boil them.
Okay, now that would work if the brats were split open. What you want to do is grill them first. And I do think a grilled brat is preferable to a microwave or boiled brat.
Okay.
You grill it first so that it splits open. Then you soak it or simmer it in beer. And then it sucks the beer in. That's how you make a beer brat. You don't do beer first. It doesn't do anything. It's a waste of perfectly good beer. Even if it's bad beer, you're still wasting it.
I can't wait for the emails on this one.
I'm right. I don't care what anybody says. They're wrong. I'm right. I've tried it.
All right. So hot dogs, 70 per year, supposedly. 20 billion hot dogs in the United States alone annually.
A year. Isn't that insane?
No.
It's insane. That's an insane amount of hot dogs. Because think about it. If I'm eating 40, that means there's somebody out there eating their 70 plus my extra 30.
Joey Chestnut will do that in 3 minutes.
Yeah. Every time I see that, I'm reminded of that HuffPost article that Ryan Reynolds wrote about how he's disgusted by competitive eating.
Did he really?
Just a great, going back and reading it every year or two.
Is it really funny?
It really stands up. It's funny, but it's also very, it makes some really good points too.
I love Ryan Reynolds.
Well, you'll like him even more after this.
So hot dogs are sausages, but that doesn't mean a sausage is a hot dog. It falls under that category of sausage, mm-hmm. which is basically any product where you grind up meat mm-hmm. and you put a bunch of spice and stuff in it.
Sure.
And then you cook it in a casing, usually like some sort of sheepskin, as we'll see with, or sheep intestine, not skin. That'd be really tough to eat through.
It'd be ribbed sheepskin that you want to cook it in.
The hot dogs we know and love, this that you get at your regular old grocery store, are not generally cooked in that sheep casing. It is a fake casing that goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And they are cooked, you know, and that's why you can eat a hot dog right out of the old package.
Yes, and you should once in a while. It keeps you human and sane.
I like a hot dog sandwich, like a raw.
Okay.
Not raw,
it's cooked.
Put it
on some bread?
A cold. Yeah, when I was a kid, I used to cut it lengthwise into like, I guess, eighths, mm-hmm. little thin strips,
mm-hmm.
and throw a couple of those on a Sammy with some mayo and cheese.
Oh, that sounds, I would try that for sure.
It's good, but we don't, my daughter eats hot dogs occasionally and she loves them, but we don't, kids will eat them every day if you buy them, but we just don't buy them and keep them in the house.
That's how I eat 40 or 50 hot dogs a year, is buying them at the store and keeping them in the house.
Oh,
they come in a 10 pack, right?
Yeah.
So over the course of like a week or so, 4 or 5 times a year, I will eat a pack of hot dogs. That's how I'm hitting 40 or 50. If it were just me being out, I would eat zero because I haven't left my house in 2 years.
Right.
But Chuck, we've now reached to me the fact of the podcast, and I would love to take it if you would be so kind.
Yeah, because I have no idea what you're going to say.
Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Bologna. You know bologna?
Yeah, it's like a flat hot dog.
It is. It's a giant hot dog that's cut into slices. That's bologna. Thanks a lot for taking the fact of the podcast, but yes, you're absolutely right.
I'm sorry, you didn't know that? Bologna? It never occurred to you that the taste is identical?
No. No, I hadn't. I had no idea that a bologna is a giant hot dog. And now I'm just like, I want to see a whole intact bologna before Oscar Mayer slices it up, because that must be astounding.
Just go to any deli on planet Earth.
That's different. That's different. That looks different. That looks more like a traditional sausage. I'm saying, like, I want to see the hot dog, the giant hot dog that Oscar Mayer produces and then slices up into bologna and packages the portions of it into bologna packages. That's what I want to see.
Well, again, they're right there in the deli case, a big, giant log of bologna.
It's not the same. I guess I want to see it out of the package. I don't know what I want to see.
Well, it's got that red packaging around it. You just want to strip its clothes off.
That's right.
And stare at it.
And throw a sheepskin on it.
Boy, I'm sorry I ruined that. I thought everyone knew that bologna was a hot dog.
No, you're the only person besides the National Hot Dog Council president who knows that bologna is a giant hot dog.
Well, don't you remember the song? My bologna has a first name. It's HOTDOG.
Yes, I know that song, but it never really sunk in the lyrics.
All right. The USDA has a definition for a hot dog.
Yeah, I love this.
Should we read it, I guess?
Yeah, I think it's very instructive.
All right. Frankfurters, a.k.a. hot dogs, wieners, or bologna, are cooked and or smoked sausages according to federal standards of identity. The standard also requires that they be comminuted, which is reduced to tiny particles,
mm-hmm.
semi-solid products made from one or more kinds of raw skeletal muscle from livestock, like beef or pork, and may contain poultry meat. Smoking and curing ingredients contribute to the flavor, color, and preservation of the product. They are link-shaped and come in all sizes.
Wait for
short, long, thin, and chubby.
Chubby. Chubby hot dog.
It's probably too late for a content warning to our vegetarian friends. Hopefully, they know better than to listen to one on hot dog.
Yeah, but technically, a hot dog does not have to be made of meat. It can be made of vegetable protein.
Well, yeah, but I mean, as far as the grossness that's to come, sure, they may not want to tune in.
No, I was just trying to toss them a bone.
Yeah, yeah.
Trying but to not toss a bone. The vegans a bone. So the thing that differentiates hot dogs from other types of sausages is how finely ground the internal stuff is.
Yeah.
It's ground so much, every bit of it, from the spices, the flavorings, the meat, everything. It's ground into such a granular constitution. That's not right, but still, that you can't differentiate one thing from another. It's all just particles, and that you kind of stick together into that casing, and they form a mass. They go from semi-solid, maybe even almost liquid, to a jiggly mass that tastes delicious.
That's right. The USDA says your hot dogs can contain no more than 30% fat and 10% water, and 3.5% non-meat filler, which is generally a binder. Like they use cereals or dry milk, sometimes soy protein, isolated soy protein. And this is to bind it together, and 3.5% of your hot dog can be made up of this.
Yeah, we'll get a little more into the weeds and what's in your hot dogs. I say we take a break first and then jump in, okay?
Let's do it.
Want to learn about a pterosaur and call it pterodactyl? How to take a perfect poop and all about fractals? Genghis Khan, Attila the Hun, the Lizzie Borden murders and the cannibal runs. Don't explain everything to your brain. Explodes. It's Chuck and Josh. This stuff you should know. You should know. Word up, Jerry.
Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win. And that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball, and you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
Hey, everybody. If you're building a deck at work and you want to supercharge it, check out Canva presentations. Work docs have been the same for too long, but Canva docs are different. They're visual. They grab readers' attention with images, charts, tables, and videos playable right in the doc. Plus, docs don't have to be just words on a page. You can make your docs pop with Canva docs.
That's right. And Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, HR, ops, marketing, and more, Canva presentations can be the solution for you. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it.
Canva presentations might be the most visually impressive presentations you'll ever use. You start with a stunning template, use it as a springboard for your design, adding images, graphics, charts, data visualizations, all from a massive media library. It's super easy to wow any audience with Canva presentations.
So start designing today at canva.com, designed for work. That's canva.com.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Artesian, premium cocktails on demand.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, but they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
All right, our buddy, the great Dave Ruse, the Rooster. Yeah, the Rooster. The Rooster. I can't believe we missed that before.
Oh my gosh, it's just sitting right there, clucking.
So the Rooster helped us, and sorry, Dave, if you hate that nickname, I think that's it now. Just let us know. But he helped us with this one, and he basically said, okay, yes, like, we really should establish that there is actual meat in your hot dog, and no, it's not mystery meat. Like,
no.
It can't, there can be the horrific stuff that you you suspect is in your hot dog, like lips and noses and tails and all that stuff. Legally, it can be, but you will know if that's in there because those ingredients have to be listed individually on the packet, and then on the front it has to say that it's a hot dog with byproducts or a hot dog with my new favorite band name.
Oh yeah,
Variety Meats.
A new, yeah, I saw that one coming.
Yeah,
it's a fantastic. Good one. Yeah. What would a variety, what kind of band would that be?
Variety Meats? Jeez, I don't know. I think they play like calliope music, like circus music or something insane.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah.
Yes. And sort of the takeaway from all of this, after we read you all of these ingredients and things, is read the package. If like, if you want to know what's in your hot dog, don't just be like, oh, I don't know what's in these things.
Right.
Sure you do. It's printed, right there. So just read it. It'll tell you if there's lips in there.
Or organ meat, even. They can't put hearts or kidneys or anything in there unless they list them. And the other thing that Dave says is, The major hot dog brands do not use that stuff. I think it's just bad for business. It's not worth it.
Can we read what Dave wrote?
Yeah.
Is this really low quality meat? It's not filet mignon, if that's what you're asking, but it isn't nostrils and anuses either.
Which I think really gets it across, you know?
Yeah. So we should say that it can be, you can get your pork hot dogs, your beef hot dogs. You can get chicken dogs, turkey dogs, obviously your vegan dogs that they make these days. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's Beyond sausages.
Yeah, I have not tried them yet.
I haven't either. I don't know if they make a hot dog.
They make a sausage.
But I'm sure they will at some point because they're just, you know, they're covering all their bases, I think.
For sure.
And Beyond. I know. I'm sorry. That was terrible. So beef, if you're talking about a beef hot dog, what's the main meat in there is going to be what's called trimmings. And this is the meat that is not used as far as like when they're, I know, please don't listen if you're a vegetarian.
Yeah, you want to stop listening to the rest of this episode now.
When they're cutting the beef and the cow apart and making steaks and roasts and things like that, they're either doing it by hand or maybe there's a machine involved. The trimmings are the things that are sort of left over. It's still meat and it's still like fat and beef. Like if you get ground beef that's not super specific, that's also trimmings.
Yeah. And so, like, with trimmings, it's just the stuff that's left over. There's nothing wrong with it. And as a matter of fact, it's like fat and meat, but there can only be, like, X amount, I think 30% of fat that can make it into meat products. So there's it would be extraordinarily wasteful to just throw that away because it's not filet mignon or it's not round roast. Like, that, it's stupid to just get rid of it. It's actually super disrespectful to the animal that you just slaughtered to throw away a significant portion of their edible
carcass. If you're into eating their carcasses, you should probably be okay with meat trimmings being used in ground beef and hot dogs and stuff like that.
Right. Beef cannot legally be mechanically separated anymore because of mad cow disease in 2004. Mm-hmm. The USDA says you can't mechanically separate beef, but you can mechanically separate poultry
and pork.
Mm-hmm. And you're getting trimmings in poultry and pork as well.
If you want to be presented with the full horror of eating meat, watch some trade videos of mechanical separators that the producers who make those machines have on their sites. It's just, it's insane. It's like, this is what we're eating. It's nuts, but it also is super efficient in that they take the pieces of the carcass that have just little bits of like meat and edible like muscle and tendons and stuff attached to them still, and put them under different states of pressure through a sieve, and that actually forces that little bit left of meat and edible like muscle off of the bone. It separates them. It's mechanically separating them so that you can use that stuff and make things like hot dogs or ground pork or ground turkey and that kind of stuff. It's again, it would be deeply wasteful to just throw that stuff away because, again, it's not a chicken breast or it's not a filet mignon. And it's actually very sensible, but it also kind of brings you full circle back to how horrific modern meat processing and agriculture really is.
Yeah, and those mechanical separators are based on my grandmother Bryant's mouth.
Oh, could she do that?
Well, she legendarily would come around and get your fried chicken bones off your plate. Mm-hmm. Be like, you're not going to eat that?
Did she call you the P word?
And my brother and I would try, because we knew what would happen. We would try and get every bit of meat off that thing. Mm-hmm. And she would find more meat. And like when she was done with it, it looked like a cartoon bone. You know, like when they pull the fish out of a cat's mouth.
Yeah, like Heathcliff.
Nothing left. And she lived to be 101, so.
Well, that's how. She ate all that cartilage.
My sweet grandmother Bryant. They're also, we talked about spices earlier. There's salt, sugar, and spices in hot dogs.
Mm-hmm. And everything
There's a
nice.
Lot of sodium in a hot dog. Mm-hmm. You've got your regular old table salt. You've got liquid salt, sodium lactate. You've got sodium diacetate, prevents bacteria growth. You don't want listeria, then you're going to want that sodium diacetate in there.
Yeah, a lot of these types of sodium are also used for curing too.
Sure, and there's a lot of laundry to unpack with the curing that we'll get into in a few minutes. But there is a lot of sodium. I think 20% of your daily sodium intake you can get from a single hot dog, Frank.
Which who just eats one hot dog? So let's just say it's 40% when you eat.
And I don't
call
them Franks either, do you?
No, and I don't think I know anybody who does call them Franks. I've only seen it or heard it on TV before.
Yeah, and we'll get to the naming later on as well. You also can get high fructose corn syrup in your dog because of, you know, some people do it, some people don't. It's not a lot, but I saw how it's made. And by the way, if you really want to.
Yeah, that's a good one.
If you either do or don't want to eat hot dogs anymore, I don't know how you're going to come out of it, but just watch the How It's Made on hot dogs.
The part where the finished hot dogs are shooting out of that machine like they're being run up a salmon ladder or something.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's mesmerizing.
But the goop that they put in the casing.
But yeah, again, though, it's edible meat. It's just edible meat. Like, I know where you're coming from, though.
It is. It is meat, and it is spices. It is garlic and pepper and coriander and maybe paprika.
Yeah.
Maybe some, and we'll get into the celery salt thing or celery powder thing. Mm-hmm. So, and it's water. It is all these things, but when it's pumped, made into a slurry and pumped out of a tube, it definitely looks like pretty gross. It's kind of gray.
Yeah.
And it's just watch the video.
Yeah, hot dogs.
It's well worth it.
Hot dogs, bologna, all that stuff would be a flat gray if it weren't for some of the curing agents that they put in there. And apparently they also use cherry powder sometimes too for its coloring to color them a pink.
Okay. You might also find some MSG. Mm-hmm. You might find some yeast extract. You might find some beef stock.
Smoke flavoring?
Yeah, that liquid smoke.
Do you know what that is? That's actual liquid smoke, where they condense smoke from hardwoods and turn it into water vapor and collect that water vapor. That's what liquid smoke is. Isn't that nuts?
Yeah, I used to be a fan of that. I would keep some in the house, but I don't do that anymore.
I mean, I thought it was like all science, like just completely like just isolated fake flavors and all that. And it's actually, no, it is what it says on the tin.
So should we get into sodium nitrite and the nitrites?
Yeah, I think that sounds like a good spot. Yeah, featuring variety meats.
Because you're going to find some sodium nitrite in some hot dogs. You might also find hot dogs that are like, we don't use nitrites. No nitrites. We use celery powder or maybe cultured celery juice instead. Mm-hmm. And people might think, oh, well, that's got to be way better for you because I've heard nitrites, if you cook them at high heat, can give you cancer.
Yeah. So like the whole thing is that under certain conditions, nitrites can turn into nitrosamines. And those, starting back in the 70s, were linked to, I think, bowel cancer and possibly stomach cancer. And so everybody started getting really worried about nitrites, and people stopped using nitrites. Well, they still use them. Like in any of the classic hot dogs that you see for sale, they use regular old nitrites. But celery powder was offered up as like an alternative, a natural alternative to nitrites, and that it did all of the same things, but it was a natural alternative because it's celery. And the problem is like, to your body, a nitrite from celery and a nitrite that was isolated in a lab is the same exact thing, and it's going to have the same exact effects on you. And if those effects are to give you colon cancer, you're going to get it whether it's from celery powder or whether it's from the nitrites that were isolated in the lab.
Yeah, and this is, I mean, boy, if you start looking up articles on celery powder and nitrites and cancer, it's a rabbit hole. Like, there's a lot of information out there. At one point, just a couple of years ago, the National Organic Standards Board, it was up for a vote whether or not to keep celery powder on the list of acceptable organic ingredients, largely because of this, not just because of hot dogs, but, you know, they use bacon and like in any kind of cured meat, you might find a nitrite or a celery powder. And they said they voted 11-1, I think, or maybe it was 10-1, but it was super lopsided to keep celery powder on the list.
It's so
of
weird
acceptable
too.
Organics.
There's this really great article by Jesse Hirsch on the site called thecounter.org. Worth checking out about that. But it doesn't make sense that they would keep it on there like unmolested, because it's just so misleading. Because if you use celery powder, you can say that your hot dogs are uncured, even though they would ostensibly have the same impact on your body as cured hot dogs. And then even worse, because it's natural, celery powder can be used in organic products and still be listed as organic. But the celery used doesn't have to be organic.
That's nuts to me.
Yeah. And celery, it turns out, Jesse Hirsch pointed out in that article, that celery is particularly adept of all the vegetables at really soaking in pesticides and herbicides into its little body and passing it along, well, ostensibly passing it along. So it is really weird that they just kind of went whole hog or continue to go whole hog on celery being some sort of natural ingredient, even though it does the exact same thing to your body that a lab-isolated nitrite would.
Yeah, it is weird. You know, at one point we should do an episode on organic standards.
I think we have, but we could revisit it for sure.
Did we?
I'm pretty sure we've talked about organics versus local. Yeah, we've talked about it, but let's do it again.
Well, I know there's stuff we didn't cover because Emily always has a problem with it and with her business selling natural body products, because people will say like, this is organic soap and stuff like that. Like, people throw the word organic on something when it doesn't even apply sometimes, just because people will buy something if it says organic on it. Or if it's not even certified organic, you can get away with it, you know, on a smaller level, like a small business.
Yeah.
And then there was something else too. Maybe we could roll in like all the food sort of labeling, like free range chickens. I remember when I worked for that chicken company, and I know I mentioned this years ago, but they, I was at a free range farm and I was like, I thought these were free range. Like they're all in there. And he was like, free range just means the gate is open, basically.
Yeah, I remember you saying that before. It's like
they
crazy.
They can leave, but they don't because this is where the food is.
Right.
So you want to imagine chickens just roaming around the countryside. Great. And that's just not the case.
I want my chickens forced out of there and made to walk around in the field for a while.
I'm sure there are some local.
Oh, yeah.
And we try to go to farmers markets and get local meat. Mm-hmm. That is like a genuine farm with chickens that are walking around and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But anything you're getting like in a package at the grocery store is, you're probably being misled in some way.
We'll have to take on meat processing or like that whole thing.
I know.
Eventually.
I've been avoiding it.
Yeah. Well, we're going to run out of topics one day and that's going to be left.
Should we talk about how these things are made before we take our break?
Yes, and then also just want to re-shout out the How It's Made video on it. Great 5 minutes.
It is time well spent. So, it's, and again, you'll either say, I'm never eating a hot dog again, or like, right. Who cares? I love it.
Yep.
Give me a slurry tube.
I feel like I'm in the middle. I'm definitely not, it didn't make me want to not eat a hot dog, but I wasn't like, I gotta have a hot dog. You
right.
Know?
Yeah, sure.
So the whole thing starts with grinding the meat. If it was mechanically separated, it's already some sort of paste or goo or batter. But if it's not, if it's, you know, trimmed beef or even trimmed pork, then it has to be ground into a slurry. Because remember, the thing that differentiates hot dogs from sausages or other types of sausages is that it's ground up so finely that you can't differentiate one bit from another.
That's right. So you've ground the stuff up. Mm-hmm. Then you got to mix in all those ingredients, and it goes into this huge industrial mixer. Mm-hmm. Love watching this stuff. Any industrial processes are fascinating to me.
Even when
people.
It's goo, meat goo?
Yeah, because it's worth it when you get to that hot dog shoot.
Okay,
totally. There's a big payoff.
Yeah.
So that, you know, it's mixed together in these huge vats, and this is where your spices, they're dumping in these huge bags of salt and paprika and garlic powder and apparently like some mustard powder. It depends on where you are according to how it's made. Like different regions have different flavors they like.
Yeah, which makes me want to kind of do a cross-country
hot dog tour.
Regional tasting tour. Yeah.
Well, if we ever get back out on the road again, maybe we should make a point to eat a hot dog in every city.
Idea.
It's a good idea.
I actually don't know if it's a good idea or not, but it is a fine idea.
Okay. So this is mixing all that stuff together. Dave has it in here that ice is added because the blades generate heat. Mm-hmm. The video from How It's Made, it looked like it was just cold water.
That would work too.
But I imagine the water also mixes in those spices and keeps everything nice and juicy.
Right. So, and that was a lot of water, wasn't it?
It seemed like a lot of water.
I saw the reason that Ballpark Frank's plump when you cook them is because they add even more water. And so that leftover water that they leave in that slurry, the hot dog slurry that gets kind of cooked in, when you heat it up, it turns into steam or water vapor, which expands in volume, which makes the volume of the hot dog itself expand too.
Amazing.
I don't know about that. What's up next, Chuck? Stuffing the casings, maybe?
Yep. You got to get that emulsion, and this is where you get not the hot beef injection, you get the cold beef injection.
Yep.
And this is probably cellulose casing. And then it's, you know, it's tied off. It looks like a regular sausage. It's in a big long link.
Long, like a
mile
long.
It's all
tied
together with that casing, and they're twisted up every, what did it say, like 5 1/4 inches is, uh-huh. I think, standard.
It's not
although
foot
I prefer
long.
The bun length.
Sure. I do too, but you know that they make them thinner. It's not the chubby version. It's the thin version.
Yeah, I just like it. To match the length of the bun. I don't see why you want to start off with just bread.
I know, because I like bread, and I even tend to pinch the undogged parts of the bun off.
Yeah, you pinch it?
Yeah, I pinch it and leave it. And if I'm really hard up, I might dip it in some leftover ketchup and eat it afterward.
My friend James from New Jersey would not eat the corners of his omelet. Isn't that weird?
Yes. He might be the only person who ever felt that way.
He would cut one off and cut the other one off and eat the rest.
Huh. Yeah, never heard that one before.
Never heard that. All right, so you got it stuffed. Then you smoke it, and you know what they're probably doing is adding some of that liquid smoke, mm-hmm. but you're also going to get some smoke as you're cooking it.
And they're curing it too. They're bathing it in basically like what amounts to a different type of brine that will cure it. And you know, the difference between curing and cooking is they're both transforming meat into something that can be preserved or is preserved. It's just cooking uses temperature and curing uses chemicals, but they both arrive at virtually the same thing.
That's right. So then you're almost done, right?
You are. Then the fun stuff comes because most hot dogs, I think you said way earlier, they don't sell them in casings any longer. They prepare them and cook them in casings, but then they take the casings off. So there's like a machine that kind of cuts them, and then another part of the machine that steams them off, and then they come shooting out of that last machine into like these giant like trolleys, like a huge laundry trolley, basically.
It's amazing to watch.
It really is. And if you're just grossed out, just fast forward to like the last probably 40 seconds of that clip. You'll see.
Yeah. And pretend they're circus peanuts.
There you go. Which is way grosser than meat goo.
Man, I haven't had a circus peanut in probably 45 years, and I still remember exactly the texture and taste.
Yeah. Yeah. It hasn't changed, I'm sure.
All right. So that's it. They get vacuum sealed and packaged, mm-hmm. and you got a hot dog on your hands.
You do, and then you put it in your mouth, and you say, by God, that is some delicious colon cancer.
Should we take a break?
I think we should, and then we're going to talk about some of the history and where this name came from, because it's kind of weird if you stop and think about it.
Want to learn about a pterosaur and call it pterodactyl? How to take a perfect poop and all about fractals? Genghis Khan, Attila the Hun, the Lizzie Borden murders and the cannibal runs. Don't explain everything to your brain. Explode. Just Chuck and Josh. This stuff you should know. Word up, Jerry.
Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win. And that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friends' money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball, and you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
Hey, everybody. If you're building a deck at work and you want to supercharge it, check out Canva presentations. Work docs have been the same for too long, but Canva docs are different. They're visual. They grab readers' attention with images, charts, tables, and videos playable right in the doc. Plus, docs don't have to be just words on a page. You can make your docs pop with Canva docs.
That's right. And Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, HR, ops, marketing, and more, Canva presentations can be the solution for you. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it.
Canva presentations might be the most visually impressive presentations you'll ever use. Start with a stunning template, use it as a springboard for your design, adding images, graphics, charts, data visualizations, all from a massive media library. It's super easy to wow any audience with Canva presentations.
So start designing today at canva.com, designed for work. That's canva.com.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
All right. So we did a little bit of a flip-flop. We usually will do this history stuff first.
Mm-hmm.
But we did it different today.
I think it's nice. It feels like a new jacket that makes you feel cool. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like a magician's jacket.
That's right.
So you've heard them called Frankfurters, which we mentioned briefly. And of course, Wiener. We haven't said that word yet. They both come from Germany, which is where the sausage comes from. Frankfurt, Germany. They say, hey, way back in 1487, we invented this thing, the Frankfurter sausage. And so call it a Frankfurter. Vienna says, no, no, no. Those American hot dogs you're eating, they came from us.
Mm-hmm.
And Vienna is Wien in Europe. And Wieners or Wieners is where that comes from.
Right. Had no idea, did you?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, you just know everything about hot dogs and bologna and all that.
I've traveled in Germany, and I have taste buds. So
Wieners.
I knew bologna was a hot dog.
I'm going to start calling them that, Wieners and Frankfurters.
A Wiener?
Right.
And so, a Frankfurter?
I love how Dave abandons that. He's like, that matters not. What really matters is that these things eventually made their way to New York, and that's where the whole thing really took off in earnest. Because, yeah, sure. Frankfurt has been making hot dogs potentially since 1487. Vienna has been making something similar since who knows when. And that's great, but they never took off. Like, you would not call a Wiener or a Frankfurter, like, the national dish of Germany or Austria. Like, you would call it the national dish of America, which suddenly sounds really sad now that I'm saying it out loud.
Yeah, like, you wouldn't walk, like, take your first visit to New York and go up to a cart and say, could I have one of your fine German-style Wieners?
Right.
They said, what are you talking about?
Yeah. And then they punch you on the arm. Yeah. No, you wouldn't say that. Instead, you'd say hot dog, as you just said.
But they did come from German pushcart vendors in the 1860s in the Bowery. This sounds delicious. It says in the Bowery, they were served on milk rolls mm-hmm. with mustard and sauerkraut. Even though I don't like mustard or sauerkraut, that still sounds good to me.
Oh, really? I know you don't like mustard. Sauerkraut too, huh? Although, yeah, you don't like any vinegar-based anything, do you?
Not a lot of vinegar-based things.
Okay, fair enough.
You know what I like about sauerkraut? It's too sour.
It is very sour. It really lives up to its name.
That's right.
So that's where the whole thing started. I think by the 1860s, there were push carts in New York. They eventually made their way to Coney Island. There was a guy named Charles Feltman, who was the first Coney Island hot dog king in 1871. And then Famous Nathan's, or Nathan's Famous, sorry, I got it backwards, was established by a guy named Nathan Handwerker. I think I said it right. In Coney Island, which Coney Island became kind of like the capital of hot doggery in America, especially at the turn of the last century.
Yeah, so here's where it gets a little weird, because when you think of a Coney, you think of a chili dog.
Yeah.
But I did a little bit of digging, because to me, you want to make a hot dog great, put some chili and cheese on it.
Yes. Just basically just go to the Varsity. That's how you make a hot dog great.
Like, I love a chili dog. I love, love a chili dog.
A chili cheese dog, no less. With chili cheese Fritos dog. On top.
If some Fritos happen to fall in there, I'm fine with it.
Out of your beard onto the hot dog?
I don't seek it out.
Okay.
So chili appeared in San Antonio in the 1870s, and Coney Islands were the names of restaurants, not a specific chain or whatever, but like these Greek immigrants in like the Midwest and specifically Michigan would open up what they called Coney Islands. And there were these restaurants where they were Greek diners, but they also sold these chili dogs. It was like a chili sauce, no beans supposedly, although I'm not, I love beans in my chili, so I don't care about that. But
it's just, they, it's a little much with the bun, frankly.
Oh, the beans? Okay, and the chili?
Yeah, well, no, just the beans and the bun. It's just too much. It's much better with just meat-based chili, no beans for me, in my opinion. But I'm not gonna yuck anybody's hot dog yums.
Do you like a Cincinnati chili?
Doesn't it have cinnamon in it?
Yeah, we kind of do our sort of like that. Like sometimes some chocolate, some cinnamon.
Yes.
It's good stuff. Like Skyline chili?
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever had Skyline crazy enough, but yes, cinnamon and chili is good.
I think in Toledo you would have had some Skyline chili.
There was even a Skyline chili restaurant and I didn't eat it. I don't know why.
I love it. It's good stuff. But the all of this to say is that even though Nathan's in Coney Island is known for chili dogs, Michigan and Detroit is very, not abrasive, but defensive about the fact that they say, we started the chili dog.
Yeah.
And like it's verified, it came from Michigan.
Yeah, which is a bit of a brain buster, but the Coney dog is a Michigan creation. Simple as that.
That's right. What about baseball games?
Apparently, there was a guy in St. Louis who bought the St. Louis Browns baseball team in the 1890s and also started selling hot dogs there. And it was just a match made in heaven from that time on.
All right. So all of this is great. We're having a good time. We know about Frankfurters and Wieners. But why are they called hot dogs, Josh?
Oh, well, allow me to explain, Chuck, because I just so happen to know this. So there's this idea that the German immigrants who brought hot dogs over with them and started selling them and became kind of celebrated in places like New York also brought over dachshund dogs with them. And supposedly, anybody who knows anything about hot dog history knows that the association between dachshunds and hot dogs were made right off of the bat. Okay? That's kind of phase one of this legend, but that seems to be totally accurate. So it's possible that they called them hot dachshunds for a time.
Yeah, weird name.
It is, but I mean, you can understand where like a dachshund looks like a little sausage with legs and long ears.
Well, and there's also, well, we'll get to that. There was also a cartoonist going in a different direction from the New York Journal.
Well, this is step two.
Yeah, this is part two.
Yeah.
His name was Tad Dorgan. Great name. And he says, and this story is by all accounts not true, but he says in 1900, I was at a baseball game at the old Polo Grounds in New York City, and there was a vendor saying, get your dachshund sausages while they're red hot.
Oh, that's good.
And he said he got a mental image of an actual dachshund dog in a bun. And he thought, well, that's cute. And so he made a cartoon of it and drew that and called it hot dogs because he supposedly didn't know how to spell dachshund. And that is the apocryphal story that a lot of people you will see online have printed this stuff. But by all accounts, that is not true at all.
Yeah.
Because in the 1800s, 20 years before that, at Yale University, these students, little John Hodgmans, were calling them, these push carts, dog wagons. One was called the Kennel Club. And it was even in print. The word hot dog was found in 1895 in the Yale Record.
A good 5 years before Tad Dorgan's story takes place, right? So,
yeah.
Yeah, Tad Dorgan. Big fat liar. Yale students, apparently the ones who coined the term hot dog. And there's this idea that it was a play on the hot dachshund probably, but there also seems to be some evidence that it was a kind of a sly nod to the idea that there was potentially dog meat in these sausages because they were made by immigrants after all, and this was Yale, so there was a certain amount of xenophobia even though they were enjoying these delicious hot dogs. And so the Yale student said, we're going to call these hot dogs because who knows, maybe there's dog meat in them.
Right. That is part three or four?
I guess so. I would say 2B.
Okay. and then, you know, of course, people are like, well, did they really eat dog? in Germany. And apparently, at times in Germany, when things would get really bad, there are verified reports that they would eat dog meat. And a very bad slang term for German immigrants sometimes were dog eaters back in the day. Mm-hmm. And that probably did contribute to the name somewhat. But there is nothing on record or any truth whatsoever hot dogs actually being made from dog.
No, that was never like a trend or anything like that. It just seems to have been an unhappy coincidence between Germany going through some hard times around the time that hot dogs were introduced to the larger public in America by
German immigrants. And the dachshund looking like a hot dog.
Yes. So all those things kind of came together to form in Yale students' heads the idea of hot dogs. No Ted Dorgan, Yale students.
Yeah, and apparently early on, hot dogs were, like, people loved them, but like you said, there was xenophobia, so there was also the notion that what is in this from the beginning, what kind of mystery meat could be in there? Mm-hmm. Is it? Are they dirty? Should we eat these? Upton Sinclair certainly didn't help later on with his book, The Jungle. But apparently that's why Nathan Handwerker of Nathan's Famous early on would have signs that say, like, no horse meat.
Yeah, and that was another accusation.
He made his employees wear white smocks early on. That was their early uniform, was because it made them look, he thought, like, more clean or more like a doctor even.
Right, and he also billed his hot dogs as kosher style, which was not the same as kosher. It was just kind of a playoff on this idea that kosher meat was much cleaner because it was raised and slaughtered and packaged under the eagle eye of a kosher inspector. And so, therefore, it had far less adulterants or contaminants in it. And so he kind of billed his hot dogs as kosher style to kind of also further that idea that he had very clean meat, clean hot dogs. Yeah.
So, but you can't get kosher style.
You can, yeah. I feel like if we haven't done a whole episode on kosher, I'm surprised, but we should definitely do one on that. But yeah, there are much stricter guidelines associated with it, and you're never going to find pork in a kosher hot dog. It's either going to be beef or it could be poultry, but never pork because that ain't kosher. But yeah, it's separate. Like Hebrew National has very famously kosher hot dogs, and people feel like they just kind of taste differently. But I think that's just because they're different brands, you know?
Yeah, when you say something like we should do something on kosher one day, that immediately all I can think of is like, sure, I'd love to get a bunch of stuff wrong.
Right, exactly.
That just seems like one of those that we would mess up in some way.
Man, do you remember our episode on the Pope? I don't think we've ever gotten more pushback for an episode than that one.
I wiped that one from my memory bank. That soccer,
the best. Yeah, it was worse than soccer, I think.
I guess we should talk about a few of the famous kinds of hot dogs. You got your Chicago dog, got the poppy seed roll, got yellow mustard, relish, chopped onion, pickles, mm-hmm. tomato slices, a little celery salt, got that Michigan Coney.
Yeah.
The Mexican dog that you can get in Los Angeles is wrapped in bacon.
Yeah, the Sonoran dog.
Which they might deep fry.
Yes, it looks lovely in a picture. But yeah, it's a lot. They put crema on it.
Yeah.
It does look pretty good.
Love that crema.
There's one, I didn't realize this, but Atlanta does kind of have its own version of a hot dog. Did you know that?
I saw this from Dave. Is that a thing?
It is. Now that I think about it, I never realized that it was an Atlanta thing, but it's a Southern thing, an Atlanta thing to put coleslaw, usually kind of sweet, very mayo heavy or mayo forward coleslaw on a dog.
Yeah, I love a slaw dog.
That is delicious. But apparently, I suspect it may have come from the scrambled dog. I found this on Mental Floss. There's something called the scrambled dog from Inglewood Pharmacy in Columbus, Georgia. And it's all kinds of messed up. It's cut up into pieces, bathed in a bowl of chili with pickles on top, oyster crackers, cheese, and then coleslaw. So I suspect somebody from Atlanta went down to Columbus and said, this would be great if it was just coleslaw and the hot dog. And then that's where the Atlanta version of the hot dog came from.
Wait, what else was on there?
Chili, pickles, oyster crackers, cheese, and then coleslaw. Some people even put ketchup on it, which I just can't even begin to imagine that.
Yeah, that's almost a Chuck special, but I just don't dig the pickles. But a perfect hot dog to me is the bun, the dog, mayonnaise, baby, and then put on the chili and then coleslaw and then cheese and then coleslaw on top of that. And I can just have one of those because that's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's quite a bit. But I now want to make a pilgrimage to Englewood Pharmacy and try their scrambled dog.
So recently, a few weeks ago in real time, an article came out on the Newswire from a study at the University of Michigan that says a hot dog will shorten your life by 36 minutes.
One single hot dog?
Yeah, it was big, big news because everyone was like, what, 36 minutes? They did a big study on all kinds of foods and like quantified literally how many minutes they will add or subtract from your life. And they came up with 27 minutes just for a naked hot dog, but 36 minutes, I think, with, you know, a hot dog with some trimmings on a bun. And, you know, that was the study. It was out of Michigan. They know their hot dogs. I did some math and like, it's not a big deal. Like if you're eating 20 hot dogs a year.
Yeah. It still sounds like a big deal.
It's not. Cause if you do the math, like 20 times, it's like, you're talking like 8 or 10 hours, a year. And if that's like 10 years, you're talking 80 to 100 hours.
Okay. So I just did a little bit of math. And if I eat 40 hot dogs a year, that's a day I shave off of my life, 24 hours every year. So I think we're going to scale back the hot dog take in.
But let's say you do that for over a 30-year period. You're talking about like a month of your life. Wouldn't you rather eat hot dogs and kick off a month sooner?
No, because when I eat those hot dogs, I always feel guilty. They're usually cold out of the package. I'm just chomping them down to like eat something. No, from now on, I vow before you and every Stuff You Should Know listener that if I eat a hot dog, it's going to be a damn good hot dog, like a scrambled dog or a slaw dog or something that's worth losing 36 minutes of my life over. Thank you, University of Michigan.
Now I'm just picturing you like in the dark and in the middle of the night, like just cramming a raw hot dog in your mouth.
You forgot naked except for my whitey tighties.
But are hot dogs bad for you? Obviously a lot of sodium. I mean, it's like any kind of processed meat. It's not great for you, but in moderation, you're okay.
Yes, unless you're a vegetarian or a vegan and you now have no hair attached to your head because you pulled it all out listening to this episode.
Correct.
You got anything else about hot dogs?
Oh, boy. Nothing else, but I think I actually do have some hot dogs upstairs.
Go shave 36 minutes off your life and see if you enjoyed it, you know?
I get those organic turkey dogs, though, for my kid.
Yeah, they're not really organic. I'll bet they say uncured and organic, and they're not. I'll bet. Like look, it says celery powder on there, and that's what it's just a scam, Chuck. You're being scammed.
I know.
How do they taste, though? Are they good?
Well, they're great. I don't mind a turkey dog. I think they taste good.
Oh, yeah. No, that's what I usually eat, too, are turkey dogs, for sure. No, I meant the organic part or it being uncured. That's what I meant was a scam. Okay. No, I think all beef are the worst of all. I do.
Okay.
I think they taste weird. And I don't think a hot dog should be made of all beef. I think it either has to be a turkey dog or it should have pork in it.
Okay.
But I don't eat pork, so I just eat the turkey dogs.
Hey, I respect your point of view.
Okay. Since Chuck said he respects my point of view, that is going to roll us nicely into listener mail.
I'm going to read parts of two mails, listener mails. This is from both Liz McKellar and Jason Marcella. After our Statue of Liberty episode, we were talking about going up there to that, the crown. And they were both like, if you want to have an experience straight from hell, do so.
Okay.
Does not sound like any kind of fun at all. I'll read some of Jason's here. He said, I was one of the, quote, lucky ones who did that death march back in the late 80s when my family toured New York City. It was so horrible. I still remember it so vividly. You wait in line for the ferry from Manhattan. Then to get to the island, you got to wait in line to get into the base. Eventually, you're waiting in all these lines. You get to the elevator, make it to the top of the base. This is where the smart people stopped their tour. The rest of us cattle started the miserable climb up a narrow spiral staircase that rises through Liberty's body. Her body is essentially hollow, and it looks cool for the first 2 minutes. The stairs are steep, single file. You can't see where they end, and there are mere inches between you and the people in front and back of you. There's no air conditioning. So you are essentially inside a giant Easy Bake Oven for an hour or so.
Great.
The payoff for all that climbing, you walk across inside her crown and see that the windows are smaller than a sheet of paper. And you don't even have time to look through them because the crush of people behind you is constantly in motion. And soon you are going back down the stairs.
Oh, man.
That is from Jason. Liz also says this. The show complimented the Stuff You Missed in History Class episode on Emma Lazarus. Mm-hmm. So go listen to that. Mm-hmm. But Liz says she's been to the Statue of Liberty twice. And the second time, they got tickets to go in the crown and said this. I do not recommend doing this in winter because you need a heavy coat out on the walking area. But it still ends up being hot. So you've got that coat.
Oh, you get to carry it around?
Well, I guess so. But then you've got this huge coat. It's like that New York City problem, like right. Everywhere you go in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get in the crown, it is tiny and hot, even in the winter. Very little room, and there's a park ranger there keeping everybody moving. They do keep some of those little windows open at all times for air circulation and have a stand-up fan, but it did no good. And Liz actually said, you can't stop. So she said, I managed to get some decent photos by sheer luck because I was just kind of clicking and walking. But the pictures actually turned out really great. There were some really cool artistic photos, like looking up through the body and in the crown itself. And that's just pointing out that to say that sometimes just dashing off quick photos, you can get some really great images if you're not overthinking it. So
that was the point of these two listener mails?
That was the point of the end of that second part of the one listener mail.
Gotcha.
And that's it. I'm just encouraging amateur photography, basically. Just
I see.
Go out there and snap stuff. Don't overthink it.
I gotcha.
And so Liz and Jason both say, don't do it.
Okay. That's great. Thanks, Liz. Thanks, Jason, for setting everybody straight. I may have ended up trying it one day, and I'm glad that I never will now.
Exactly.
If you want to get in touch with us like Liz or Jason did, you can. You can send us an email, and we will be eternally grateful. Send it to stuffpodcast@iheartradio.com.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid Kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Hey, everybody. I want to talk to you for a second here about Canva, specifically Canva presentations that are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation. So start designing today at canva.com. Design for work. Just go to Canva, CANVA.com.
The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. But you know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line, thanks to Visible. It's true. So switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.